Turn to Job chapter 1. Just want to introduce Job to us by reading verse 1. All right. Let's stand together. We just read this one verse together. We just read verse 1. That's all. Okay. Together. Ready? Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Okay, please be seated. I'm sure Job is not something that is very unfamiliar to most of us. Maybe some are still not familiar with this character in the Old Testament named Job. Sometimes when we go through things like what Job we have gone through, for example, like I mentioned earlier, it's a matter of time. Eventually, someday, somehow, we will also have to go through some sicknesses, you know, illness, something. It can be because of an accident. It can be because of something we contracted and all those kind of things. But in the midst of that, perhaps we'll be going through some very the physical infirmity can be so terrible that it causes so much pain and so much anguish, and to the extent perhaps you might feel that it's better not to live, you know, it's better to just die and finish off the suffering. But I think as believer, God has something more than that for us, you know. We can look beyond all this and then have a perspective that God will want us to have, and that we can come out of all this and still honoring God and glorifying God and learn something, some lesson that God wants us to learn, okay? Now, when we look at chapter 1, verse 1, we find that it introduces this man, Job. Four things we can see in verse 1. The Bible tells us that he was a man that was perfect. The word perfect here, of course, does not mean sinless perfection. We all know there's no perfect man other than our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, but it does give us an idea that Job was wholeheartedly given over to pleasing God. All right, later on we'll find that his life, though his testimony does indicate that. And he was sincere, he was kind of, as far as with his with God, you know, he is true. He was single-minded, he was a man of integrity. We find that later on, even as he faces trial, faces sorrow, adversity, he maintained that integrity between him and God. And then he was not seeking to serve any two master, but one, and that master was God. So, first we see that Job was introduced as someone who is dead. And next, we find that he was mentioned as being an upright man. All right? One who had a good relationship with the people around him, and also because I believe he has a good relationship with God. You know, we always hear people say, when we are horizontally right with God, vertically we will definitely be right. Because you can never be right with man, wrong with God and right with man. All right? And also, if you can never be so-called wrong with man and right with God, the other way also. Because it works both ways. But I think most of the time when we think about our relationship with people, and in order to be a kind of person that will honor God and people will look at us, for example, I'm a Christian, and you know, at your workplace or whatever, our testimony is very important. And how do we maintain a testimony? It's before the Lord we seek to honor Him, seek to obey Him, seek to uphold whatever that will bring glory to Him. So, by having that, we would, for example, like be more forgiving, be more patient, be more loving, you know, because when we look at God and God teaches us to love and the agape love, we can practice that. It sort of, you express it in a very horizontally, okay? And we find that he was a man also of unusual piety. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 4, let's turn to Ezekiel, because in the book of Ezekiel, there was a mention about Job, and tell us about who this Job is. So his character is not just confined to perhaps the people around him, but even to there's a sort of like a legacy. The Bible says, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver by their own soul, by their righteousness, save the Lord. So we find that even Job is being put together with the same same so-called man of honor in God's honorary role, you know, with people like Daniel and with people, the other two, like Daniel and Noah. Okay, because we know that in the Old Testament, Noah, God say, was a righteous man also. And then he was, in the New Testament, I believe, in the book of James, there was also a mention that about Job as a man of what? Great patience. You know, when we mention Job, they will always associate this matter of Job is a man of great patience. So if somebody say, you know, you have the patience of Job, it's a very, it's a compliment that is don't come by so easily, man. All right? We see also in verse 1, not only he was a perfect and upright man, he was also one that feared God. And of course, when we think of this matter of fearing God, it doesn't mean that the kind of fear that we have over men, you know, when we fear men, it seems you get the idea that something is terrible going to happen to you if you don't obey and do. It's a very tyrannical kind of concept, you know. I remember last time when I was a little kid, my dad is someone that we all very fear of him. Not that kind of good fear. Fear of like a mouse see a cat, you know. When he comes, we all run away, we hide. Because we know that he will always find something to scold us or sort of say a lot of terrible things about us, you know. Of course, there's one thing that at the end, there was I got saved and I learned to not to hate my dad, you know. But what I'm trying to say is, the fear that Job had with God is a reverential fear. It's a kind of trust. It's a kind of fear that out of the greatness of God, out of who God is and what God is doing, you know, and you have that kind of respect and fear, reverential kind of fear. And that fear also coupled with a kind of hatred for evil. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when someone have this fear of God, reverential fear, the more they learn to fear God, the more they develop these sensitivities towards sin and also the hatred for it. All right? Because you will want to do things that would not displeases and causes this reverence to be affected. All right? And then the Bible also tells us in verse 1, the last part of it, and eschew evil. The word eschew evil has a meaning of turning away from evil, abstaining from it, and shun from it. So we find that Job's outward walk corresponds with his relationship with God. And I was thinking about this matter of eschew evil. It's something that we have to grasp the concept and learn how to practicalize it. Because, you know, day in, day out, we are so used to looking at evil, seeing evil, and it becomes like, it doesn't seem evil in that sense, you know. We need to learn also how to be sensitive, and then there's an internal kind of response because of your relationship with God. And when you see this, that response comes automatically, you know. It's not some do and don't kind of thing, you know. So I was thinking, this is something that perhaps in our modern day, when we talk about eschew evil, the matter of shunning from evil, the matter of abstaining from it is something that we may have to ask God to give us a new perspective and have clearly grasp the concept of it and seeing the way, see and feeling the way God feel it, and then that we will do just like what Job would do. Alright, so we see as far as this man Job, this is a description of who he is. Alright, and I think if all of us were to desire to have a kind of people describing us, it'd be great to have someone to describe, or for that matter, God described Job as these four characteristics. In fact, as you go on in chapter 1, you find that Satan came and then sort of talked to God. And then God said, how do you think of my servant Job? God was full of confidence, you know, in a way, sort of proud of, and asked Satan about this man Job. So of course, we find that Satan sort of challenged God, that because you bless Job, you give him all this and so forth. Anyway, that we'll see later. Alright. We also find that Job was a man who is greatly concerned for his family, because in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Bible tells us that he has many sons and daughters. Alright. His sons went and feasted in their, verse 4, houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. In fact, seven sons and three daughters. And it was so, when the day of their feasting was gone about, that Job was sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Thus did God, did Job continually. So we find Job is not only a man that is about himself, is about what he has done, you know, and all the thing, but he's also a man who cares a lot about how he leads his family. It's something for all of us as family, father and head of the house, also to be reminded again that we need to have great concern for our family in all aspects of their life, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, and all those. And we find that Job, the picture that you get from the book of Job is that Job does this, even the children do not know about it, but he cares so much for them that he do it daily. He's very concerned about how their relationship with God. And something that I guess I must say, many of us as parents, perhaps we may have to work quite hard on this aspect, including myself, you know. And looking at Job, his so-called character, we can quite easily understand why, when things do happen, the kind of integrity that he has, the response that he has, is the way that it is. Now we look at Job, what the problem that he's going to go through, or he's going through. In Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 19, the Bible tells us something happened to Job's family and all that he has. Because it tells us that in verse 14 to 17, that he what? He lose all his property. Verse 14 tells us, "And there came a messenger unto Job, and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaean fell upon them, and took them away. Yea, and they have slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And then, at the same time, another thing happened. Not only is his oxen being taken, verse 16 also tells us his sheep were also being taken. And then, not only his sheep, his camel was being taken. You know, Job was considered a wealthy man, and he had God bless him so much. In those days, the more children you have, it's considered as a blessing from God. He has seven sons and three daughters. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and then of course 500 she Esther's, and also have a very great household, a lot of servants. So the scripture also tells us that he was a man that was greatest of all the men of the East. Okay? So that means he's doing very well. He has been so blessed with wealth and children, and even his own health. There's nothing mentioned before this, anything about his wrong with his health. So we see that he, verse 14 to 17, in one day he lost his property. Not only that, in verse 18, the Bible also tells us, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughter were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And what happened? And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon young men, and they are dead, and I only am one to alone to tell thee. So, in one day he lost his property, everything that he has, he lost his children. And, of course, subsequently we find that when the devil, Satan, went back to God the second time after God gave him permission to afflict, you know, to take away all that Job has, there is a conversation between God and Satan about, what do you think of my servant now? But Satan was very sly. I said, because outwardly it doesn't affect him. It's okay. He's still fine. Right? He will definitely still bless you and honor you. But if you touch him, take away his health, maybe it will be different. It will be different. So God said, all right, you can do that, but you do not take his life. So we find that happened also in verse chapter 2, verse 7, where when Satan fell from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with what? Saw boils from the sole of his foot until his crown. That means from right to the bottom all the way up to the top. And it's not just the thing here is sore boils, you know, it's like blister, big blister all over. And it can be very, very, in fact, I believe it's very painful. It's a lot of suffering. So much so that in verse 8, how Job relieved himself with all this, he took him a portion to scrape himself with her, and he sat down among the ashes. You know, it's so miserable. So he lost his health. Not only that, the person that is closest to him, supposed to be the one that will support him and be by his side. In chapter 2, verse 7, we find that his wife also rebuked him. All right? So, in verse 9, then saith his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. All right? Of course, we know that Job rebuked his wife back. He says in verse 10, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. All right, he was rebuked by his wife, but worst of all, he got three best friends, and his three best friends later on failed him. Of course, we find that there was the three best friends was trying to figure out what went wrong or why Job, such a man that God said he is, have to suffer all this. And of course, it didn't help, you know, with the kind of counsel that the three friends gave. Job has to say this about them in chapter 16, verse 2. All right, that's what Job, after going through back and forth with his friend, in chapter 16, verse 2, he says this about his friend. He says that actually they are no comforter to me at all. I have heard many such things. Miserable, comforter are ye all. How would you like to have friends that come to you in your time of adversity, and you are at your lowest and you're suffering, and there you are, your friends say you must have done something wrong. And you know, and instead of offering some comforting words and encouraging thing and help you to be strong and all those, you feel that your friend, you know, misunderstood you or terribly, in fact, worse off, discourages you. So, in a way, there are many lessons, even as I think of that, as friends, or so-called, when people are going through some trials or suffering and things, our so-called help
The way we help makes a lot of difference. In fact, in the very beginning, after chapter 3, in chapter 2 rather, they started out doing very well. They just quietly stayed by Job's side and sort of sorrow with him, like, you know, just be quiet. And sometimes I think the best thing is just be there for your friend and whoever are going through, and then don't say anything, because the more you say, the worse you make it. You know, sometimes we do that. Okay, so we find that Job went through this adversity, and he lost property, he lost children, he lost his health. His wife not by with him, even tell him to curse God and die. And then his friend failed him, didn't give him help him at all. You know, he felt that there are no comfort to him. Let's see how Job responds. In chapter 1, verse 20, there are a couple of things that Job says. I hope it will give us an insight. The perspective that Job has about the things of the world. The perspective that he has about God. The perspective that he has about the matter of how it's going to be, how it's going to turn out, going through all this. Because I believe his relationship with God, his God in his heart, in his life, is much, much bigger than many of all these things. Let's take a look at verses 20 to 21 of chapter 1. After Job lost his property, you know, and then his children, verse 20, we find that the Bible tells us, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down the ground and worshipped. He worshipped God. And in verse 21, he said this, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In fact, just now we read in verse 10, when the wife say, why don't you curse God and die? She said, you foolish woman, don't you think when we what shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we receive not evil? In all this, that means Job is saying, when we receive good from God, we never complain. When we receive bad from God, we complain. You know, that's not right. In both, we should always be thankful. I mean, it's not that easy. Humanly speaking, people will say you must be out of your mind. But I think when God the Spirit fill us, and when we truly in our heart believe in the God of the heaven and of the Bible, and trusted in Him and have confidence and have a real wonderful relationship with Him, that perspective can be as real as like what happened to Job. Alright, so we find that he worshipped God. He trusted God. In Job 13 verse 15, Job says what? Though he slay me, yet I will not, yet I will trust him. Alright, let's turn to Job 13, verse 15. The Bible tells us, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. And all this little here and there does tell us, when Job goes through all this adversity in so-called suffering, and in this matter of losing, he maintained his integrity before God. All right. Then he also have a right perspective about the possession. Just now we read in verse 21. In fact, I'm taking all this also as a form of, you know, coming back to God and asking God to remind us again the kind of worldview or value system that we have. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When I read this verse, I was thinking, because he lost 10 children at one go. And you know, children to us, sometimes it can be so dear, and it's so painful, even if you lose just one. But yet, Job know that children come from God. Children is a gift from God. And the giver has the right to take that gift away also. And all we have to do is just learn to submit to him and say, God, you give, you take away, that's your right. So even to the extent of children. I hope that, you know, some as we go through this reminder of the character of Job and his life and what the Bible has recorded for us, of course, later part, after going through back and forth, you know, it tells us Job is not perfect. Right immediately after that, Job, in fact, say to himself, you know, it's better to die than to live. And complain, in a sense. And then, of course, God has to deal with that. And finally, at the end of it, he learned something. That is, God is all-wise, all-knowing. God never make mistake. And he learned to submit. He learned to, you know, look at God as a sovereign God. And his attitude, the way he see God, will not change. And God blesses him even more with what God has taken away initially. So, with this, I just want to emphasize about this matter of Job has, through this trial, he learned more about himself in relation to God, you know, and how God, he began to see who God really is. In fact, if you look at this God's will for us, Job at that time don't have a lot of the Bible in a way for him to know about who God is, what God do and all those. But we have the Bible with us that tell us everything about God and who God is and what God has done, and even our salvation, you know, how our relationship with him because of Adam. And Bible tell us for all have sinned, and how because sin separate us, for the wages of sin is that. How God, through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, redeem us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, saved from eternal hell. And not only that, Jesus promises to give us not only life, but life more abundant, and all those. And God, in the book of Ephesians and many other books, tell us that he prepared everything that we need in order to live the kind of life that he wants us to live, that we can be free from all this, and promise us also the blessed hope. You know, what can be worse for all of us who are truly saved and children of God? Like what this, you always remember this preacher, John R. Rice, when he was at the pub, and then somebody threatened, said, what can you do to me? You kill me, you only bring me, make me go to heaven faster, you know, sooner. And that's the most that you could do to me. So same, whatever that happened to us, anything along the way, at the end of it, we'll still enter into eternity and be with our Savior and our Heavenly Father. But I just thought it'd be good for us to take a good look at Job and then ask God to help us to impact us in a way that would be like Job. That we would see our life here the way Job see himself before God. All right? So I hope this will be encouragement to us, for some of us who are going through, actually in Singapore, we don't really go through much of adversity or trial, or unless maybe for people like who have met an accident, people who have some, you know, like Pastor Silva. I was thinking of Pastor Silva, that thank God that, you know, he's a servant of God, he knew God, and I believe that God's grace, God's mercy, and God will strengthen him, and, you know, the hope that he has will greatly strengthen him. So, something that for us to consider as we go through this difficult time, all right? Okay. Let's close with a word, right? And then just ask God to bless us. Father, we just come before you. We know, Lord, that we go through this life on earth. Many times we get so distracted, we get so affected, and sometimes we even lose sight of you and our life before you and things like that. Father, we just pray that through the reminder of Job in the Old Testament again, and his character and his relationship with you, and how he deal with different adversity, you know, and trial and sorrow, and perhaps even, Lord, relationship with you. And we pray, Father, that you'll teach us also to remind us of our relationship with you, and
that will examine our hearts before you, and Lord, that you would help us to search our heart and then nothing between, and then that, Lord, as we go through daily in our life, we will rejoice and be glad, Lord, and that we'll commit our life to you and submit in every situation to prayer, and Lord, that we will always never lose sight of who you are, that we'll have confidence, that we'll claim your promises, that, Lord, we will always allow you, Lord, to be all in all in our life. We just thank you for even this time now as we have our prayer requests, and perhaps later on we can have a few men to pray for one another, Lord. We just ask that you will bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.